whenever you're ready.
Let's just take a look. Okay.
Okay, we're on Yudzayin Amud Aleph now. All right, we're going to be doing a sugya that it still has eluded me exactly why this is presented over here, except insofar as this whole Masechta is about Yantif, and this parak is about when Yantif falls out right next to Shabbos. So this is just an opportunity to talk a little bit about Yantif and Shabbos connections. Okay, I don't really have a good explanation for why this whole piece is put in over here, but let's take a look. Tana Rabbanan, second line. Yomtov Shechalios B'Shabbos. When Yomtov falls on Shabbos, how do you handle the davening? B'Shamay Omrim Mispalo Shmona. B'Shamay hold that you say eight brachas in the Shmona Esrei. We're familiar with seven brachas in the Shmona Esrei, the first three, the last three, and then the middle one is only a single bracha for all of the davenings of Shabbos. And it says over here, well, when it's Yantif also, then you need to have eight brachas. According to Beis Shammai, that's Beis Shammai Shita. The Yomer shall Shabbos b'fnei atzma, v'shal Yantif b'fnei atzma. And you finish the one of the brachas with Mekadosh HaShabbos, presumably, and the other one Mekadosh Yisrael Vazman. And Beis Hillel Omrim is Palal Sheva. Beis Hillel say, no, you only have seven brachos, Maschil b'shal Shabbos and Masayim b'shal Shabbos. It's Shabbos is the main one, so you do the regular Shabbos Nusach, V'yomer Kedusha Sayom B'emtza. And then you just put in mention to the fact that it's also Yom Tov. But the Chasima, it says, Mesayim B'shal Shabbos. He says that according to this version of Beis Hillel, you're only saying Mekadosh HaShabbos at the end of that bracha. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe holds that that's not right. Af Chosim B'Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Yazmanim. And Rebbe says, well, this is what we do, of course, that you finish, you weave the Shabbos and the Yontif together in the Chasimah Sabracha, Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael VeHazmani. The Braisa, Gemara continues with a Braisa, Tani Tana Kami Deravina. The Tana quoted, the Amora quoted a Braisa to Ravina that says that when you're Chosei Mekadosh Yisrael VeHashabbos VeHazmani, puts Yisrael first before Shabbos. The first version had it as Rebbe saying it's Mekadosh Shabbos Yisrael Vazmanim. So this is a different variant. Amar Lei, Ravina says to him, Atu, do you think Shabbos Yisrael Mekadosh Lei, that Shabbos requires the Kiddush Yisrael? V'ha, but after all, Shabbos Mekadosh V'kaima. But Shabbos is Kadosh all by itself, and it doesn't require the Kiddush Al Yidei Beis Din. Ela Eima, instead, what you need to say is Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael VeHazman, which is actually the way it was originally presented, and then it's being emphasized here, Ravina's point. And that's, of course, what we do, that we say Shabbos and Yantif together, and we put Shabbos first, and then we insert Yisrael VeHazmanim. Obviously, Yisrael doesn't belong there in this bracha. It's really Mekadosh Shabbos Yantif is what you're trying to say. The thing is that you can't really describe Hashem as being Mekadosh Yom Tovim because it's not really precise. Hashem is Mekadosh Shabbos directly, Mekadosh Yantif only indirectly through the directions to Bnei Yisrael, to Mekadosh Yisrael. So it makes sense to say Yisrael Ve'azmanim, and then it says Mekadosh Shabbos first separately. So all of this is what we're familiar with. What's interesting, of course, is how much that this machlokes. We are taught that the Shemona Esrei and many of the rules of Tefillah were established by Ezra HaSofer and the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and that was talking about centuries earlier than this dispute. So presumably, what was evidently the case was that there was a certain amount of either flexibility or tolerance for later modifications, and that it's not likely that what was going on was that we had somehow lost the Masorah and now we are unclear about what they originally were misaking. It looks like the Tfilos originally were less concretized originally, and then over the years became more fixed. And so that you could have a machlokas, like even what brachas to say and what words to say and what the chsimas are, in situations of Shabbos and Yantif. In any case, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, confirms that halacha ki Rebbe ki Tzara Tzrivina, that we pass it like Rebbe when Shabbos at Yentefol, when Yentefol is out on Shabbos, he say Mekadesh Shabbos Yisrael v'hazmanim. But you do combine like Beis Hillel in a single bracha. Okay, Tana Rabbanim Shabbos Shechal Yos Bir Rosh Chodesh Abachol Amoed. This is like what we had yesterday. And when Shabbos falls out, well, when Rosh Chodesh or Chol Hamoed falls out on Shabbos, how is that going to be different? What was going to be different about it is that Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed don't get their own Shmona Esrei like Yontif does. They get the regular weekday Shmona Esrei. And so how does it affect things when it falls out on Shabbos? The Gemara here quotes this Braisa that Arvis v'Shachris u'Mincha, for Marev, for Shachris, for Mincha, Mispalo Sheva. You say the regular Shabbos Ben Esrei, the Omer Me'en HaMa'ura Be'Avoda. And you just say a mention of the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed in Avoda. Avoda is the name of the Bracha Ritzei. It's called Avoda because you say in the middle, Hashem Esau Avoda, Ludir Be'Zecha, that's the theme of Ritzei. Why is it appropriate to stick in Hazkaras Yantif in Avoda, because that's the main thing that happens on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, is that there's extra karbanos. So that's where you emphasize the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, is on the bracha that alludes to the Avodas HaKarbanos. So you say, Me'in HaMor, that's what we do for Yalav Yavu. That's what Rashi says, that's referring to Yalav Yavu and Ritzei. The Imlo Amar Machzirin Oso. And the halacha would require that b'di'evid you'd have to repeat the Shemona Esrei for failure to mention Yalav Yavo. And we all know that although it says all Marav Shachar and Minchol together for Rosh Chodesh and for Chol HaMoed, there's one exception to this rule, which is the Marav of Rosh Chodesh. The Marav of Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to be Chozer. But for all of the Chol HaMoed tefilos and for Shachar and Mincha, you would have to be Chozer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, incidentally, Rabbi Eliezer says that actually we do it wrong, the Hodah. You don't mention Yalav Yavo in Ritzei, but instead you have this other, you must have had a different Nusach, but you mention it in Hodah, like Rashi says, like we do for Al HaNisan. Like when you're mentioning the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, the appropriate place to do that would be in Modim, the next bracha. We don't hold like that, obviously. Ube Musafin, but now it goes back to how do you handle Musaf? When it's Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed and falling out on Shabbos, how do you handle Musaf? Musaf is all more complicated because there actually is a Musaf generated by the Rosh Chodesh or by Chol HaMoed, and the Avodas HaKarbanos of Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed is I guess just as special as for Shabbos. And so Ube Musafin, Maskil b'shal Shabbos and Maslayim b'shal Shabbos v'yomer kedushas hayom b'yemtza. The Tanakhama over here says that you're supposed to say you're consolidating a single bracha, and it's really a Shabbos bracha. Maskil b'shal Shabbos and Maslayim b'shal Shabbos, right? You just say Mekadesh HaShabbos, but you say kedushas hayom b'yemtza. You make an allusion in the middle of Musaf to the fact that it is Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. Presumably you mention the psukim of the Karbanos also. Is that what we do? Not quite. Not quite. For Rosh Chodesh, we turned it into Atal Yetzarta, and for Chol HaMoed, we actually have the same as we do for Yantif. Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Reb Yisrael ben Osho Yochanan ben Baroka Omrim, and these Tanoim, Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Yisrael ben Osho Yochanan ben Baroka, they have a different shita about what to do when Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. Kol makom shehuzkak l'sheva. Anytime you have a seven bracha shmona esrei, maskil b'shal Shabbos, mesayim b'shal Shabbos, v'yomer kedushas hayom be'emtza, which is different, because this is even referring to Shacharis and Mincha and Mariv. And he says over here that that's how you handle that. You don't mention Yalav Yavo. That would only be relevant for weekdays, but when it's already a seven bracha shmona esrei, then you could make the mention of Yalav Yavo in the middle of the bracha. We don't do that. That is what we do on Rosh on a Yantif, but not for Chol HaMoed or for Rosh Chodesh. Anyway, we don't pass them like that, as it says here in the next line. I'm a Rav Huna. Rav Huna, the Gemara says that Ein Halacha Ka'osav Hazug. We don't follow those two Tanoim. Now, we don't either follow the Tanakhama either. That's what the Tosfos points out, that we don't follow the Tanakhama either on this point, because with respect to Musafin, we're not Misayim Bishal Shabbos. We follow the same as what it was for Yantif up above, that we mentioned Mekadesh HaShabbos, V'Yisrael, either V'Hazmanim or Rosh Chodashim. Okay, that's it for all the tefillos. Like I say, this is a kind of a parenthetical discussion. Now back to the halachos of Yantif and Melacha and Erev Tavshilin and everything. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. This is Amorayim. Rav Chiya Barashi says, in the name of Rav, Maniach Adam Eruvei Techumen Meyomtof L'Chaveiro. So first of all, we're talking now about Yantif next to Yantif. So this is a situation which I don't think that we've encountered yet. It's what happens when you're in Chutz La'aretz and you have a two-day Yantif. You have a Thursday-Friday Yantif. Or for that matter, I think for this discussion anyway, Yantif L'Chaveiro, it doesn't necessarily even have to be that it's next to Shabbos, Thursday-Friday. It could be any 2 days. But let's stick for a Thursday-Friday to Shabbos. So how do you handle that situation? So we're going to have a number of, we're going to explore several halachos that pertain to that situation of, it's a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Yantif Shabbos arrangement. It says over here, quoting from Rav, Maniach Adam Eruvei Techumen Meyomtof L'Chaveiro. Where are we? Yes. Maniach Adam Eruvei Techumen Meyomtof L'Chaveiro U'Masna. Let's say you want to have a Tchum, an Erev Tchum. An Erev Tchum means you have to put some food someplace that isn't where you live before the Shabbos or before the Yantif starts. And then that becomes your center, that becomes your makom, and then that becomes where you measure your Tchum from on Shabbos. And that could be useful for you if you need to get some outside of what your default Tchum would have been.
Does and it says, food?
It's all food. All Erevs are food. So you're putting some food there. And the Erev, and so it says over here that you can put the Erev Tchumen Meyantif L'Chaveiro, which means that let's say I need my Erev really for the second day. If I wanted for the first day, I'll have to put that in before the first day starts. So that's obvious. If I want it for the second day, though, can I put my Erev down during the first day in order so that by the next day, I'll have my Erev Tchumen set up someplace else? So Rav says, okay, except something is wrong. Okay, so he says over here, why are you allowed to do such a thing? It says, umasna, because really, you have a Tanai that you can make in terms of establishing your Erev. Namely what? Namely, really, these 2 days of Yantif, we can't go to work either of the 2 days, but it's not because they're both really Yantif. They're really only 1 day of Yantif. We just don't know which one is the right one. And we know for sure it's not both, so it's only one or the other. And because it's only one or the other, let's consider the two possibilities. It's either day one, in which case I don't need an Erev for my second day, I could do what I want, or the day one is not really the Yantif, and day two is the real Yantif, in which case it's Erev Yantif on day one with respect to this issue. So one way or the other, I'm not sure which one is the right one. I just know that one way or the other, if I put food on the first day, I'll be allowed to walk where I want to on the second day. That seems to be a pretty reasonable analysis. So that's what Rav is saying. Maniach Adam Erev Tchumen Meyomtof L'Chaveiro U'Masna. Amar Rava. Rava has a similar idea. Now, Rava was a later Amora. He says, Maniach Adam Eruvei Tavshilin Meyomtof L'Chaveiro U'Masna. Rava is talking about a case of an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is always when Yantif is on Friday, but now Rava is saying, well, what happens when it's also Thursday? A Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. How do you make the Erev Tavshilin? So remember, Erev Tavshilin is to cook for Shabbos on Yantif. I need to make an Erev before Yantif starts. When it's a two-day Yantif, what are you supposed to do? So we know what you do is you make it on Wednesday. So you make your Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday so that on Friday I could cook for Shabbos. But what about Thursday? So Rava says, well, I could make my Erev on Thursday, umasna. And I make the same tonight.
Do we make Erev Tov Shilim before Yom Tov starts?
Or normally it would be Wednesday. It has to be before Yom Tov starts, but when it's a Friday, then you do it on Thursday afternoon. But when it's a Thursday, Friday is the question. So look at the analysis. He says over here, well, what do I do on Thursday? The Thursday, with the same kind of a logic. It's either Yom Tov is Thursday and not Friday, or Yom Tov is Friday and not Thursday. So Rava says, well, you can make Erev Tov Shilin me Yom Tov lechaver u'masna. You can make an Erev Tov Shilin on Thursday, so that you'll have it on Friday, so that you can cook on Friday for Shabbos. And how does this work? I take my food on Thursday, and I designate that as my Erev, and I say, look, I'm not sure I need the Erev. If I need the Erev because tomorrow is Yom Tov, then today is Erev Yom Tov, and I'm good. If today is Yom Tov, and therefore it's not appropriate for me to make my Erev today, but neither do I need it, and so therefore it's nothing. So tomorrow I'll be able to cook for Shabbos because it's not Yom Tov, not because I have the Erev. So one or the other, I'd be allowed to put the Erev today. Now, I wouldn't be allowed to cook the Erev today. They point this out, is that we, until now, the whole Erev Tov Shilin concept is somewhat vague, and it looks a little bit from the mission like you have to cook food special for the Erev. Right over here, you see, I'm not cooking food special for the Erev. I'm designating food that I have already cooked for the Erev. And I'm saying this food is going to be my Erev Tov Shilin. Why can't I just cook food straight for the Erev? Because you can't cook on Yom Tov for chol. And if I know I'm cooking the food today, but the point of the Erev is I need it to stay for tomorrow so that I can have it around for Friday night or for Friday evening when I'm going to finish Shabbos. My preparations for Shabbos, so then there wouldn't be any heter to cook such food. So this only works because I can just use food that's already been cooked and call it my Erev. And that's fine. So that's the rule. That's Rava's analysis. It's a pretty good analysis. Now, the Gemara says here, if Rava had to make that point with respect to Erev Tov Shilin, the Gemara says, well, what would each of these opinions say about the other's Shita? Rav made a comment about Erev Tchumin with a Tanai, and Rava is making a comment about Erev Tov Shilin with a Tanai. It sounds like this is exactly the same analysis. But the Gemara says, not really. Mandi Amar Eruvei Tchumin Koshkin Erev Tov Shilin. Rav, who holds that you can do this and this Tanai for Erev Tchumen, Kolshkin Erev Tov Shilin, he would permit. But Mandi Amar Erev Tov Shilin, but Rav, who made his comment about Erev Tov Shilin, about Erev Tchumen Lo. But clearly he would not permit such an analysis and doing the same trick for Erev Tchumen because there's something worse about the Erev Tchumen. And what's worse? My Taima. Delimikni Shvisa Bishabsa Lo. Because what is involved in the Erev Tchumen is that the way it works is that by taking my food and putting it someplace where I want to recenter my spot, I have to be kona the spot. So even if I don't have the right to legally be kona the spot in mamonist terms, because I can put it in even a public place or in somebody else's place with some permission, I'm not kona anything, but it's a ritual kinyan that I have to make on the spot. Now, kinyanim are not permitted on Shabbos generally. And so there would be a reason why not to allow this kinyan. Now, interestingly, I'm only making the kinyan a la Tanai, which really, really means I'm not making the kinyan. I'm only making the kinyan al besafek, but besafek that it isn't Yom Tov today. If it is Yom Tov today, when I wouldn't have been allowed to make the kinyan, I don't need the kinyan. But he's still not, according to this argument, Rava is still not allowing it. Tosis makes a long point over here. They say, wait a minute. But if the point is that you're concerned about the effects of your actions on Yom Tov for the benefit of the next day, isn't that an Isser Hachana? So they try different ways to weave together the Isser of kinyan and the Isser of being Mechen Lechol, or Yom Tov Sheni, together, but between the two, Tosfos to say, that's what's going on over here. It's a kind of a merge of kinyan and hachana. In any case, that's what it says. He would not allow it. The Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, considers this to be the final word of the Gemara and Paskin's Lechumran, that you can't make Erev Tchumen ala Tanai. You can't make the Erev Tchumen from Rishon L'Sheni. We already saw some of that about Eiver Chatzeres in the previous one. Okay, Tana Rabban. Once we were talking about the issue of Yontif Rishon preparing for Yontif Sheni, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa now, ain't often Mayontif L'Chaveiro. If I have 2 days of Yontif, Yontif Rishon, Yontif Sheni, I'm not allowed to cook on Yontif Rishon if I'm only going to be serving the food on Yontif Sheni, because it's treated like chol. So just like I'm not allowed to cook on Yontif, if I'm not serving the food today on Yontif, I'm not allowed to cook on Yontif Rishon if I'm going to serve it tomorrow. But a critical point, Aval be'emes amru, memala isha kol ha'kedera basraf bisha ena tzricha ela lachasicha achas. However, this is a really astounding halacha, which is, however, if you're anyway going to be cooking on Yontif for today, and I know that my quantities are such that I only need a certain amount of food, I only need a certain size soup or a certain quantity of, I don't know, stew, chalent, whatever the thing is that I'm talking about, I can deliberately enlarge the quantities, knowing full well that I'm not going to be serving all of it today. I'm not even going to put out the food today. I'm going to put out the food tomorrow. But the malacha of cooking is happening the same way, knowing that I'm going to have, I'm making extra now and serving the extra the next day or whenever it's convenient for me. That's called marba b'shiyurim. And this would theoretically be an issur d'oraisa, but we're being told over here that it's actually mutar l'chatchila to do such a thing.
Only for a woman. So I think this is like the first time I've ever seen them talking about
a woman doing the cooking.
A woman, insane. I mean, there's, you know, mala isha.
Yeah.
See the next one is isha.
This one is. Oh, no, this one is awesome. Mala isha kala keder basra bisha ena tzricha ela lachasicha achas. Maybe it's only the isha because maybe she'll have a better understanding of what the quantities are. I don't know. Whatever it is, in any case, she's allowed to. This is a remarkable heter of ochel nefesh on Yontif. That Ma'abe Bishyur Mismutter. However, likewise, B'malei Nachdom Chavis Shal Mayim Achal Pish Einat Tzarech Ela L'Kita Nechad. Let's say you have to, I don't know, carry water from somewhere for your purposes to make your food. You can carry larger quantities than you know you will need, as long as some of the stuff that you're doing the malacha on is what you need for today. You can make extra. That's this din of marba b'shiyurim. Avali afos ena ofe ela mashet tzarich. But here's the caveat. But you're not allowed to do actions on discrete objects where you know some of those objects are not going to be used at all today. And the difference is, if I'm going to be baking different loaves, and I only need, let's say, 3 or 4 for today, I can't make 10 loaves because now I'm baking separate objects which none of them, those objects, are going to be used today. So the point being, a pot is going to be cooked. So if the pot holds this size or that size or the other size, it's the same. I turn on the fire, or I raise the fire, or put the food on the fire. It's the same object, but it's just a larger versus a smaller object. That's marba b'shiyurim. But if I'm marba b'malacha, if I just cook more loaves, which are separate objects, that's considered an iser of marbe b'tircha, marbe b'malacha, and that's not allowed. So this distinction may be subtle, but it's certainly reasonable. You can understand why discrete malachos should have to be judged individually rather than some kind of an aggregate thing like a pot where you have the permission to cook larger quantities rather than only the necessary quantity that you need. But then it says an interesting exception to this rule, which is, however, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amir Mamala Isha Kola Tanur Pas Mipnei Sha Pas Nefa Yefeb Zman Sha Tanur Malay. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, well, but when it comes to baking bread, let's say a homeowner can bake lots of bread at one shot because in their experience, the bread comes out better when the oven is full of stuff, either stuff being baking bread or whatever other stuff. The point is that I can bake those things because even the ones I need will be improved by baking those things, which is an interesting thing because that's an important principle in halacha also, that I can do malachos on yantif on this thing, even though it's for the sake of eating a different thing. And that, you know where that might come up? Let's say hot water on Shabbos. We're making on Shabbos a lot of hot water, but the hot water that's getting cooked and boiled whatever on Shabbos is the water in the hot water heater. It's not what I'm going to necessarily be using to wash. It's the stuff that's already in the pipes that I'm benefiting from. This may not be what's getting cooked. But you see from over here that you're allowed to do malacha on this thing if that's going to enable me to use that other thing. It's an interesting point that you get out of this halacha of kol ha'taner pas, mipnei sha'pas nefa yafeh bizman sha'taner malei. This exact halacha may not be true nowadays. We may not have permission to make a full oven's worth because if our experience doesn't bear out that this is true, so then you don't really have the permission to bake more than you require on the ostensible grounds that it'll improve even the stuff that I bake if we don't really think that that's actually going to happen. I'm not sure if that's the experience. I haven't heard that you're encouraged to bake a full oven full of bread at a shop because it'll make all of the bread come out better. I don't know if that's the way it's assumed nowadays. Okay, in any case, Amar Rava, Rava says that is how we paskin. Alacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We paskin like that concept. Okay, new issue. Ivoy lahu. They were wondering, Misha lohi niach eruvei tafshilin. The rule of Erev Tavshilin is, if you plan to cook for Shabbos on Yontif, you need to make an Erev, otherwise you're not allowed to cook for Shabbos, right? So if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, you can't cook for Shabbos. What about you cooking other people's food? Well, presumably that's not allowed either. You can't cook for Shabbos. Can other people cook your food for Shabbos so that you are taken care of? You have your food made, and you aren't touching anything. So you should be, it should be okay. The Gemara's not sure. The Gemara says, "Yivaylu mishalov yinich erev tefshilin who nasar vikim chov nasar." The person is not allowed to do malacha, but what about his food? Is the food also not allowed to be made for Shabbos? Odilma who nasar veinkim chov nasar. Look, obviously the person is allowed to cook their own yontif food. That part is never subject to the erev tefshilin issue. Issues: can I cook for Shabbos? So if I don't make an erev, I can't. What about somebody else who did make an erev cooking my food for Shabbos, so that I'll have food for Shabbos? It says here, well, is it allowed or not allowed? The mai nafkamina, what's the difference whether my food is or isn't allowed to be made for Shabbos? Mai nafkamina liaknuyei kimcha liacherim. If I'm stuck and I didn't make an erev and now I don't think that I'm going to have enough food for Shabbos, do I get somebody else who'll be willing to do the cooking and give them my food? So then it becomes their food. So then they cook it for Shabbos. Now, Rashi and Tosfos have a whole machlokas over here. Let's say I'm allowed to do that. Does that mean that my food didn't become aser, and that's the lekula version? Or did become aser, and that's the lechumra version? It's unclear exactly what is it. What are the implications of saying that kimcha na'asar? Does kimcha na'asar mean I need to be makne to somebody else, and that's how it gets cooked? But if you held ain kimcha na'asar, I don't have to be makne to them. I can just invite them into my house, and while it's my food, they can cook my food for me, and I don't have to makne it to them. Or is it the other way around? If you hold kimcha na'asar, that means even if I'm makne to them, there's no way that they would be permitted to cook this for Shabbos. So we're not entirely sure exactly which side is the one that wins, but we do know what the answer to the question is, then, and it is... It says here over here pretty clearly, one way or the other, and it's a Girsa question. Our version reads like this. Ey amret hu na'asar vikim cho na'asar. This is the Rashi's Girsa. If you hold that hu na'asar vikim cho na'asar tzarech la'aknoye kim cho li'acherim, and then that'll make it permissible for them to cook. Ve'i amret hu na'asar ve'en kim cho na'asar lo tzarech la'aknoye kim cho li'acherim. Which incidentally is interesting because here we have a phenomenon where, and Tosfos makes this point pretty clearly, if I'm not allowed to do something, since when am I allowed to ask somebody else to do it for me on Shabbos and Yantif? That's normally a Mir La'akum. That's an Isra of Mir La'akum to do that. But you know what? You see from this discussion that it's not true. That if one, if I am not allowed to do a thing, but another Jew is allowed to do the thing, there's no objection to having another, asking another Jew to do a thing for me on Shabbos or Yontif that I can't personally do. We rely on that pretty often. Sometimes, you know, I'm a Kabbalah Shabbos early in the summertime and somebody else wasn't, and I ask another Jew to do something in my house for me. Seems like that's okay. See from that, from over here, that this is
so
okay.
If I get an Israeli that's holding
communion, Israeli,
on Friday, I can have him cook for me.
Well, it depends on what the status of Israelis are here in America, but in theory, if you're in Israel, that would be okay. If you're in Israel and the Israelis are going to work normally and you're trying to keep a second day of Yontif, then no objection to have the Israelis do things for you. That would be, that's true over here.
Huh?
Okay, so my, what's the din? Tashma, Mishalei Nechir, Tevshilin, Harizel, Lo Yofa, Velo Yavash, Velo Yatmin, Lo Lov, Lo Leacherim. So the Braisa gives you some information about this. It says, if you don't make an Erev Tav Shilin, you're not allowed to do any of the malachos for yourself or for anybody else. Lo, you're not allowed to get anybody else to do your preparations for you. Kate said, "Who but what can you do? Matne kimcha liyacherim ofen lo mevashlin lo. You matne your stuff to the other person. The other person has to then do all the work themselves. Shmamina hu naser kimcha naser shmamina. So whatever it is, the conclusion is, and Rashi's gears to any case, is that your food is also subject to the prohibition. You have to make it somebody else's food, and they can do the malacha for you if they are willing to do so. And that is what we hold. Eboilahu avar v'yafa mai. Very interesting question here. What happens if a person, in violation of the halacha, does not make the Erev Tavshilin, therefore is not allowed to cook for Shabbos, but does anyway? What happens to the food? Is the food treif to be used for Shabbos anyway? Avar v'yafa, person violated the halacha and cooked for Shabbos. Mai, what's the din? Tashma. And this is going to be something that goes all the way halfway down to the other page over here. And at least to kind of get our grounding in the topic, there is a halacha called Maisa Shabbos. If you violate Shabbos, though, Raisa, and you cook food on Shabbos, then that Shabbos is, that food is absolutely forbidden for you to be to use on Shabbos. And that part is known. That's given. My question is, over here, things might be a little different. Partly, they might be a little different because the prohibition that you're violating here is Issa d'Rabbanan. So, presumably, what's going on is that you're, what happens if you violate an Issa d'Rabbanan? Does that also carry with it the consequences of the penalty of the food being asur? Or not? And so let's see how that plays out. It says here, Avar v'yafa mai tashma. Well, look, we just quoted a brisa. Mishe lo hiniach eruvei tavshilin and kate said hevosa makna kimcha liacherim v'acherim ofen lo mevashlin lo. We just quoted this brisa that says that if you didn't make an eruv, then what do? Here's what you do. You take your food, you give it to somebody else who'll be willing to be kona the food and make all the food for you. V'isa, and if you hold that the food wasn't going to be treif anyway if you cooked it, listen, the avar v'yafa mutar. Why doesn't it say in that braisa? And that if you didn't do the eruv and you cooked the food anyway, it's all going to be mutar. So why didn't it point that out in the braisa? Once it was already giving you strategies for what happens in cases you didn't make an eruv. The Gemara says, what kind of a baloney argument is that? Dama rav adab masna tana takanta de teragatani. You can't infer that from the fact that the Braisa doesn't say that rule. The point of the Braisa was to give you permissible strategies when you don't have an Erev. Takanta d'isur lokatani. He's not going to tell you about loopholes in the halacha when you have to violate an isur in order to take advantage of that loophole. So, of course, that isn't. You can't infer from the fact that the Braisa doesn't say so that it doesn't hold it to be true. So, it certainly is possible that Avar v'yafa will be mutter. Tashma. Let's see if we can prove from this other source. Misha hiniach eruv tavshilin, hareza ofa umavashel umatmin. When you make an eruv tavshilin, that allows you to cook and to bake and to do hatmana. V'imratza lecholos eruv vohar shesbiado. And you can always eat the eruv food anytime you want to. Achalu ad shelo afa, or ad shelo itmin, hareza lo yifu lo yifu shelo yitmin, lo velo liacherim. But if you do eat your Erev sometime during Yontif, before you do your Shabbos preparations, then that will cancel your permission, and so you will not be permitted to cook for Shabbos. And you would not be permitted to have other people cook your food for you. Aval mevashehu liyantiv im hosir hosir l'shabbos. But like it says in our Mishnah, but you are allowed to do your yantiv preparations, and you can even make extra, like we said earlier. And all the leftover food that wasn't eaten on yantiv can be served on Shabbos. Ubilvad shelo yarim. As long as it's genuinely your yantiv food, when you're making your yantiv food, v'yim harim aser. But if you're fooling around and you're really making Shabbos food and just pretending that it's yantiv food, then aser. Then you're not allowed to serve that on Shabbos. So what do you see? So you see that avar, that if you violate the halacha and you don't have an eruv and you cook for Shabbos anyway, aser. So Amar Rav Ashi said it doesn't prove anything. Harama kuamrit. You think you've proven your point by quoting the braisa about harama, where you're fooling or you're pretending? Pretending is worse. Shani harama, de achmira barabanan tfemi mezid. So in this first Amora's answer to the proof about this braisa, about harama, we're being told over here the possibility that, yes, you're not allowed to eat the food that you cooked for Shabbos, pretending that it's really for Yantav when it wasn't really genuine. But that's when you do a harama. But if you outright violate the halacha, knowing that it's a violation, just that you couldn't bring yourself to leave to not have the food for Shabbos, and you know you're violating the halacha, that might be better. That might be better in some ways. Rashi gives you two possible ways in which it's better to be a willful violator when it comes to these things than to be a pretending, disingenuous, pretending to be doing things right and really violating the halacha in the bottom. One possibility, the Rashi quotes over here, is that, look, it's the same as so many things. If you don't think you're doing something wrong, or if you're convincing yourself that what you're doing is okay, then you're less likely to feel bad about it and stop doing it. And if you know it's wrong, then at least there's a chance that you'll just, you know, you'll cut it out. And another possibility is that other people might think that this is okay, they'll learn it from you, because it sounds good, it's what you're doing, and so they'll be convinced that that's okay also, and then they'll learn things. They're not going to learn from you that you don't have to keep the halachos. So Rashi has these possibilities. In any case, the possibility that harama is worse.
The situation that makes it is you say, I need food for Shabbos.
So even though I don't have an eruv, I have to make some food for Shabbos anyway.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Harama is you say, oh, I'm cooking 3 chickens, so I'll cook 4 chickens?
Yeah, harama is that I have my food for yantiv, so I'm saying, you know what, I better cook some more food and serve it today, with no real intention to serve it today. You don't actually serve it today, and so it's... But then, you know, after you cook it, you say, well, I guess I'll just have this for Shabbos because I don't really need it. So it's a disingenuous, it's a pretend argument, which would be true if it were true. If you actually plan to serve this, if you wanted to widen your menu, you would be allowed to make additional foods, serve them today. It's not as if you didn't need it because you'd be starving otherwise. You could vary the menu and actually serve it today. But if you don't want to, so...
Didn't you say originally that you don't need to serve it?
No, that's only extra. If you're making a larger quantity than you need, some of it I need to serve today. The extra I wouldn't need to, as long as they're not discrete pieces. In any case, that's the first answer. We have a braisa that sounds like it's saying that it's aser if avar v'yafa, but now we're being told here the first Ravashi's answer is that's only for harama cases, but mezid might be better. Not sure it's better, just it might be. You can't prove it. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar hamani chanani here. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, you know what? I don't even accept the rule about harama. He says that whole braisa that it's machmir about the Erev Tavshil, and if you didn't make it, then all the food is aser. That's only chananya. The Tana Chananya, the Aviyali B'Dibay Shammai, the Sanya, because there's a braisa that says, Chananya Omer, Chananya the Tana holds, that, you know, there's a Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about Erev Tavshilin, but here's how it goes. Beis Shammai require, Ein Ofen Elim Kein Erev B'Pas, the Ein Mevashnen Elim Kein Erev B'Tavshil, the Ein Tomnen Elim Kein Hayo Chaman Tumunamim Erev Yom Tov. Chananya understands Beis Shammai Shita is, that if I intend to cook for Shabbos, I need to have a cooked food. If I intend to bake for Shabbos, I need to have a baked food in my Erev. And if I intend to do Hatmana to insulate the food, I need to have some food already insulated from before Yantif. And so that's a very strict way of understanding how Erev Tavshilin has to work. And therefore, it might be no surprise to say, and if you fail to do any of these, then the food might be treif, or might not be permissible to be eaten on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel don't require any of that. So if I do find an anonymous brisa which has a strict view of Erev Tavshilin, maybe I could always assume, maybe that's Chananya's Beis Shammai talking, in which case we don't paskin like it anyway. So according to this answer, if this is the answer that we accept, then that brisa about even harama would not be accepted lahalacha, because it would be only following a Beis Shammai's view, which we're not going to follow. The Shulchan Aruch does not accept the second one. It does accept the chiluk of the first one, and it does permit you to eat the food if avar v'yafa, b'mezit, but not b'harama. That's what it says. But now we're not even done with the sugya. So let's take a look. Tashma, it says on the side here, this should be a tashma, because we're still in the middle of trying to prove from sources what the rule of avar v'yafa is. So now, until now, we were trying to prove it internally, sources about Erev Tavshilin, but now let's move away. Hami aser peirosav, the Shabbos b'shogeg yochal b'mezit lo yochal. If, let's say, a person violated the halacha that we've learned, I think it came up earlier in this Masechta, that you're not allowed to take Shumas and Maisros on your Peros that are Tevel on Shabbos V'yantif. If you do, so that's a violation Drabanan, B'shogeg Yochal. If you did it, not realizing that either that it was forbidden or that it was Shabbos or something, then Yochal. But B'mezit, lo Yochal. But if you did it B'mezit, you're not allowed to eat those. So that is supposed to shed light on our question. How is it going to work? How does it shed any light on our question? On the assumption that this is a universal principle, that whenever you violate a Drabanan, is there a knas not to benefit from the violation? If that's the question, which is now it's turned into this question, then we're being told over here, b'mezid lo yochal. The Gemara says that doesn't necessarily prove anything, because maybe lo tzricha de isle peira achrini. Maybe this is only true if I didn't really rely on these peiros. So we're being told, don't eat the produce that you've been misakein with mafresh shumas and maisus from, if you have other peiros that you therefore don't have to rely on these. But maybe if you don't have others, you would be allowed to. Okay, that's an interesting chiluk that seems somewhat out of nowhere. But that's what the Gemara at least presents as a dechia from proving the Avar V'yafa halacha from this Mishnah about Ma'aser Peirosa. Let's see the next one. Tashma, matbil kelev b'shabbos b'shogeg yishtamish b'hen b'mezid lo yishtamish b'hen. Same thing with respect to tvilas kelim. It's on our page. It says on the bottom of the page that you're not allowed to tovil kelim on Shabbos v'yantiv. Kelim tmeim. We're not talking about kelim that you buy from a goy. It might be true anyway, but that's not the context here. B'shogeg, if you violated the halacha and you tovel the kelim on Shabbos b'shogeg, so then fine, use them. But b'mezid lo yishtamish b'han. But if you tovel them b'mezid, you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos. So doesn't that also prove the same kind of a thing? There are abundant prohibition against using these things. You violated the thing, and we're being told here not allowed to use them. So that should imply avra v'yafa aser. Mar says lo tzricha dispe mani achrini achrisi. Well, maybe the halacha is only strict if you have other kelim to use. Same kind of an answer. The Gemara says, Yinami Yefshir B'Sheila, or if you can get other from other people anyway. Because these are recyclables. These are not kelim that you're going to, these are not food that you're going to eat. So these are kelim that you can borrow and return. In any case, Tashma, so at this point, we're not clear about what the halacha is going to be on the Avra V'yafa when I don't have any other food available. Tashma HaMavashal B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezid Lo Yochal. So now we think that we're going to have to step back and broaden even to all violations, because Mevach Shabbos is the Oraisa now. And we're told, B'mezid lo yochal. Gemara says, that doesn't prove anything. Isura de Shabbos shiny. Well, hold on a minute. That might be true. Now, even though at this point, we could have also made the same dechia, that's only if I have other food, but it doesn't say that over here. It says Shabbos is different. So Shabbos is different, we understand, because it's Doraisa and it's Skila. And so if this is the chiluk that's made, and these are the two dots, this is the end of the sugya. If this answer is the final answer that's accepted, then it comes out that all the Rabbanan violations that you are guilty of do not carry a penalty of don't use the product. Only Doraisa violations, only Yisro de Shabbos shiny. That's what would be one of the...
No, because we do know that for the Miser, you're not allowed to eat it if you take mice around the Paris, you're not allowed to eat the Paris.
Right. If that's true, that will only be if I don't need it. Hold on a second. You're saying, but no matter what, it can't be that all Drabbanan violations have no penalties because I do have Matkul Kalev and I do have Master Peirosev.
The only That's way we true. Got out of those was by saying you could have used others.
That's true. Okay, so then we're going to have to make another. If you look, Rishonim and Achronim here on this sugya, there are almost any possible combination of alignments are made in the Rishonim. Maybe that, if you look carefully, those are only talking about Shabbos. That if I'm at Matbil Kalev b'Shabbos, and I'm Asir Perosav b'Shabbos. So even though those are Drabana violations, but maybe you started the Shabbos shiny. So even though they're Drabana violations, maybe Shabbos is different from Yontif. In any case, the way that Shulchan Aruch writes this, it writes this Lekula on Yontif, but the later poskim are unsure about whether we should follow it fully. Maybe only if you don't have any other food to be Mekel. But Mechaber is not Mechalik. Okay, we're almost done here. The Mishnah that we saw on the beginning of the Perek has a Machlokes Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel about whether you need one or two foods in your Erev Tavshilin. But everybody agrees that the two foods would not have to be separate foods. The Beis Shammai would also accept a two-food blend. Yeah, that's what it says in the Mishnah. So our Gemara here quotes a Braisa, Masnisim Deloki Haitana. But our Mishnah presents things not like the following Braisa, the Sanya, because this Braisa has the Machlokes, Beisham, Beisil, and what they agree upon to be a little bit different. Amar Rebbe Shimon Elazar, Shimon Elazar has a different view of what that Machlokes, Beisham, Beisil was about. Modem Beisham, Beisil, Al Shnei Tavshilin, Ser Tzarich. He understands that Beisil also agrees you need two Tavshilin for the Erev Tavshilin. Al Ma'al Nechlik, Wal Daga Beitza She'alav. The question is only about what is the status of blended foods. Do blended foods count as two and is sufficient, or does it count as one? You require a separate one as well. But everybody agrees you need two, according to this braisa. That this is a girsa question. Tosis points out that the words don't read straight. Rashi knows that the words don't read straight, but Rashi kind of massages the halacha into these words, and he says that, look, Beis Hillel consider two blended foods to be sufficient, where Beis Shammai require two discrete foods, two separate foods. And so that's the Braisa's version. Veshavin, that you just agree, im pirper, Beis Hillel, lemon tafshil, okay, that's what, hold on a minute. But everybody would agree however that if they're really two separate foods, not really blended, just put together and eaten together, that would be sufficient. But in any case, this whole version of the machlokes b'sham beis hillel requires that even beis hillel requires two tafshilin prepared, not just one. But anyway, it doesn't matter because it's against our Mishnah and Amar Rava. Rava says, "Lo kelchasa ketana didan." We hold that the whole machlokus was like our Mishnah, the aliba de beis hillel. And we're going to pass the beis hillel in any case, which means what? Which means one tafshil alone. One tafshil alone. Now, is that what we're familiar with from our own experience of tafshilin? Is we have two products. We have a bread product and a tafshil product.
That's like that other Beis Shammai that said you can only...
Yeah, like the one above. Like at the top of the Amud, there's kind of a reference to different processes where cooking is separated from baking, but it also separates out Hatmana, and presumably other things would be separated out. We're not going to follow that Beis Shammai either. So our practice is not like what it would appear should be the bottom line conclusion, which is the conclusion. That comes from this Tosis on the page. Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosis say, hold on. But really, for baking, nobody was talking about baking. That's separate, treated separately, and you need to represent baking in your Erev Tavshilin if you plan to bake. If you plan to bake challahs or bake cakes or bake whatever you're baking for Shabbos, if that's part of your plan, then your Erev needs a baked product also. If you don't, then okay. Then that's what's going on in our Gemara. For cooking purposes, cooking and frying and roasting, everything is all going to be covered by the Tavshil, but baking is treated separately. Now, Rabbeinu Tam holds that way. The Riyah and the Tosfah say that that's impossible. The Riyah gives you very compelling arguments for why Rabbeinu Tam is wrong, but look at the two last lines. A very fascinating two last lines of the Tosfos. And it says here, Umikol makom omeri lo mela'ani libi la'avor al devrei dodi. However, the Ri says, but I don't have the guts to argue with my uncle Rabbeinu Tam, my uncle Tam. And therefore, I'm also going to require a bread thing. If you plan to bake, if you plan to bake, if you're not going to bake, then even Rabbeinu Tam wouldn't require the baked food in the Erev. And that's the minute. Okay, the Gemara goes, finishes off. The end of the Mishnah says that if the Erev disappears during Yontif, then I'm no longer permitted to prepare for Shabbos. And Amar Abaye inaktin an hiskel v'isasov v'nechal yiruvo gomer. Abaye says, however, we hold that if you were in the middle of working on a thing, you started already baking, you're already kneading the dough. Hiskel v'isasov v'nechal yiruvo gomer. Now the Erev disappears. Then gomer. You don't have to stop at really where you are. You can finish what you're in the middle of. And some Rishonim are right, you can finish everything as long as you got started already. And but in any case, if at least you're in the middle of something, then you can finish that up. If you want to do that, let's continue. The Mishnah is pretty quick. The Mishnah says here, if Chalios Achar HaShabbos, what happens if Yom Tov falls on Sunday? And Rashi points out, and you have a requirement, Chayavadam L'Taher Atzman B'Regel. There's a requirement, you have to be Tahar B'Regel. And so, if let's say you have any objects that are Tameh, or you yourself are Tameh, you have to Tovel them all before the Regel. But Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos. So what do you do? So it says over here, Bishami Amrim Met Bilin Esakol Milifnei Shabbos. You can't do any Tvila on Shabbos. Bishilal Amrim Kalim Milifnei Shabbos. You have to tovel whatever Kalim Tmeim you have before Shabbos, that's true. But Adam Bishabbos. But if you are Tameh yourself, you can tovel in a mikvah on Shabbos. The Shavim, but everybody agrees, Shemeshikin is a Mayim Mikli Evan, Litaharin. If you have any Mayim Tmeim, if you have some nice, fresh, clean water that somehow became nitma and you want to be metaherit, then you can bring that water to a mikvah, but only in a kli evan, only in a stone kli, which is not makabel tuma, and then you can dunk that into the mikvah and metaher. Aval lo matbilin, but you can't bring it to the mikvah in a kli that itself is tameh, and then tovel the water by, and incidentally also be toveling the kli, and the process that they don't permit you to do. And then this is a kind of a cryptic line in the Mishnah, which is understood in the Gemara. You're going to see in 2 weeks that it just means that if you don't really have to tovel, because they're not really tmeim, you just have a minhag of being tovel, so then you can tovel that if you want to on Shabbos also. Okay, and then the Gemara goes on to say, what's wrong with Tovel and Kalim? What kind of, is it an Issa Malacha or something? The Gemara's going to have like four different reasons over here about what's wrong with Tovel and Kalim Tmeim on Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara says, Dekuli Alma Mihas Kalib Shabbos Lo. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to Tovel a Kalib Shabbos. Even Beisham Beisil, the only question is, Machlok Zabed Adam. Mai Taima, what's wrong? I'm a Rabba. This is Rabba, the same Rabba that appears in half a dozen places. He says, well, because you have to carry your kli to the mikvah. Shemi et lena biyadavi, aver dalaz of shesar rabim. Because even though there's nothing per se wrong with toveling a kli, the only thing is that you may, sometimes people will be guilty of havar dalaz of shesar rabim. So that risk is too great, and therefore we disallow toveling kli.
Can you say it was about nisakin or something?
It's going to become that way in the middle of the sugi, you'll get to that. That'll become the main reason eventually, actually. Okay.
So we're signing for it.